For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsibly the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh,
my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though the war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy.
I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud.
Be gracious to me and answer me.
You have said, seek my face.
My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger.
O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
For my father and my mother have forsaken me.
But the Lord will take me in.
Teach me your way, O Lord.
And lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Give me not up to the will of my adversary.
For false witnesses are risen against me, and they root out my house.
I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord
in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord.
Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Reading from Romans in the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Ephesians in the second chapter. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs for the saints and the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valley of Baca, they make a place for springs.
Go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob.
Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed.
For the gain of your horse is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please rise. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead.
To him glory and power forever. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Spirit. The text for our consideration this morning is from Matthew chapter 11. It, along with the Psalms, the other scripture readings and hymns, were selected by Doris more than 10 years ago to convey the message that she wanted you, her family, and loved ones and friends to hear as you gathered for her funeral. The hymn we just sang, for instance, she chose because, and I quote, "God is accepting me into his heavenly home, even though I am covered with wretched and filthy sin." Psalm 27, which we read responsively first, Doris grew to know and love because her bedridden grandmother repeatedly asked her to read it and pray it with her. Romans 3, verse 28, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law," was her confirmation verse. These readings, each in their own way, convey the glorious truth she had learned to know and trust, that forgiveness and salvation are a free gift from God, not earned by any human works, a gift that comes to everyone who believes that Jesus has paid the penalty for his or her sin in full, so that there is now no condemning remaining for those who trust in Jesus as their Savior. Doris was confident of that fact, and she wanted each one of you to hear God's word and promises to that effect, and to believe them, and to cling to them throughout life, so that you too would be saved. Matthew records Jesus' gracious invitation and promises to sinners burdened by sin and guilt and all of the other struggles of this life in our text. "Come to me," Jesus calls. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Doris chose this passage because it tells of Jesus' great love and compassion. We often covered quite a bit of territory when I visited with Doris, but I believe she referenced this passage just a week ago yesterday when she received her Savior's body and blood at his supper. She asked, as she had been asking for a number of years, why the Lord hadn't called her home yet. She couldn't understand why he was waiting. The thought sometimes came to her, inspired by the father of lies, no doubt, that perhaps she hadn't suffered sufficiently yet for her sins. I reminded her of Jesus' great suffering on the cross, and she granted very clearly that Jesus had suffered greatly on Good Friday. I reminded her as well that before Jesus died, he said, "It is finished," tetelestai in Greek, a word that first century accountants wrote on loan documents to indicate the debt had been paid in full, that there was no longer any obligation outstanding. "It is finished" means it is completed, settled now and for all eternity. I asked her what she could add by her suffering, to her Savior's suffering. "Nothing," she said with a smile, and quoted what she could remember at that moment of Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. "By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is a gift of God, not your own doing, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And she asked to be reminded where that was in the Bible. Clearly, Doris was laboring that day, burdened by the knowledge of her sin. But Jesus' word reassured her. It strengthened her faith that Jesus had paid in full the penalty for her sin, and yours and mine. Paid it so that there is nothing left for any of us to pay. Jesus carried the burden of the sin of the world to the cross and gave us, instead, the light burden of hearing his promises, of receiving his gifts, and of trusting him as our gracious and merciful Savior. To a great extent, it hardly seems right to call it even a burden or a yoke. After all, it's a great relief to have the burden of sin and guilt lifted from us. And yet it's not always easy to believe the good news that forgiveness and salvation are a free gift, requiring no payment from you, not part of a quid pro quo in any way, shape, or form. After all, almost everything you and I experience in this life teaches us that there is no such thing as a free lunch, that if something seems too good to be true, it is. And should you look for some assurance, some sort of sign of God's goodwill toward you, it's hard to find one. After all, as Jesus taught, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So if things go well for you, does that mean anything? The prophet Jeremiah asked, "Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive?" If the wicked and the treacherous prosper and thrive, does your prospering and thriving necessarily indicate that God is pleased with you? And of course, who hasn't often identified with King David, who in grief and sorrow confessed, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, O Lord, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." So what's the answer? Where can you find assurance, a sign of God's goodwill toward you? Doris knew, and she chose the psalm she chose today to help us see it as well. From King David in Psalm 27, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple." It's in God's word and among fellow believers that God gives us encouragement and sustains us in the faith. More than once in the past few weeks, Doris told me how much she missed her church. Sure, she could listen to sermons online. Members would visit her there at the nursing home. But it's not the same, she said. Psalm 84, she wrote, describes my joy to worship in my church. The psalm begins, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." That last phrase is interesting, isn't it? In whose heart are the highways to Zion? Zion is used in the scriptures of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, but also in a somewhat symbolic way, referring to God's heavenly home. Jesus tells us that he is the way and the truth and the life. So the one whose heart is fixed on Jesus is set on the way to heaven, the highway to Zion. That psalm also includes the verse, "For a single day in your courts, O Lord, is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Doris' hope and prayer were to spend eternity in the Lord's courts, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For some time now, she had wanted that more than life itself. And now the Lord has granted her prayer. And through his mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, has brought her soul to be with him. She would urge you to yearn for the house of the Lord as she did, to find encouragement and strength for faith in your local congregation. There, by God's word, through holy absolution, at the table of the Lord, and by the mutual conversation and consolation of God's people, your Lord would sustain you in the faith, in your journey through this life, until the day he calls you to be with him. Until then, Jesus urges, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. Rest from the heavy burden of your sin and your sorrow. Come to me, and I will provide rest for your soul. Come to me, rely on me, and I will guard and protect and guide you." The Lord bless you in this time of bereavement with his presence. The Lord comfort you with the certain hope of a blessed reunion in heaven with Doris and all who have died in the faith. And the Lord bless you with rest for your soul and keep you in his grace from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.